Welcome to the All Wheels Rolling podcast. My name is Mark Hamilton and I'll be your host. We are powered by Bourgeois Midland Nissan. They are part of the Bourgeois Auto Group. You can see their new and used inventory online at bourgeoisnissan.com. The Crank and Sprocket at crankandsprocket.ca for your bicycle needs in Orillia. Excite Physiotherapy at excitephysio.com. Our friends with the rail trail around Simcoe County, cyclesimcoe.ca. SCMBC.ca, which is the Simcoe County Mountain Bike Club, who have heaps of single track all over Simcoe County. BarryCyclingClub.com for your road cycling needs. Today we have Adam Hill. We've had Adam before, but this is kind of a unique take. He has undergone some testing, and as a respiratory therapist, I think it gave him a good window into his work and practicality, as well as in high-level fitness and sports. Hope you enjoy, folks. Welcome to the podcast. I have Adam Hill. Adam, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Mark.
So, a bit of a personal story. You work in hospitals. You are a respiratory therapist. Mm-hmm. How's the burnout?
It's kind of starting to... That slow burn is really starting to build up now. Yeah, like it's been pretty busy. Kind of busy with everything. So, and it's only kind of getting busier moving into winter and Christmas season. So, yeah, it's... It's tough to try and see the light at the end of the tunnel right now, but just kind of keep on doing what we're doing. So
yeah. So the past season, obviously not a whole heap of racing or your style of racing, the longer marathon endurance thing. So just kind of riding for riding and fitness. A bit of cycle therapy, just good for clearing your brain.
Yeah, I mean, I think... Endurance athletics has always kind of led me down that path anyways of like just being able to go out and get some exercise and kind of leave either the last shift behind or at least take a break from what's been going on. And I mean, also just enjoy being out riding my bike. So it's like, not only is it just like a chance to kind of forget that stuff, but it's a chance to do something that you enjoy doing every day, right? So at the very least, riding bikes, the last... probably almost 2 years now has just been that, like, you know, hour to many hours worth of time that's just can be dedicated to just, you know, worrying about that one thing.
So yeah,
it's actually been very nice to still have that and still feel very lucky to be able to ride a bike every day if I want to.
And I think it's awesome you haven't hit that point where you don't love biking.
Yeah, I don't know, like I've been doing something in this capacity my entire life, so I don't know what, I mean, that'd probably be a pretty sad day, and usually it has more to do with injury issues or being sick, but I don't know, I always just look forward to that opportunity to get out and do something, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's actually probably the exact opposite a lot of the times for me. It's trying to think about maybe... say slowing down for a little bit and then have an off season or something.
Uh-huh.
But you know, it's so hard sometimes, like especially a couple of days ago where the weather was actually pretty good, to just go out and do a few extra hours.
Yep.
So take advantage of that, I feel. So,
and for those who don't follow Adam on social media, you made a comment at the 24 hour. You did.
Yeah.
You made a comment of, it's nice to see other guys catching up and being at the pointy end of the stick like you are, because Nick Emsley was kind of riding with you for part of the 24?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's nice to see other... Well, yeah, there's a few probably... I mean, you know, there's not a lot of guys and girls that do this kind of stuff in Ontario, and to actually see some people showing more interest in that, I think it's amazing, because... it's a thing that I really enjoy doing a lot.
Sure.
To, you know, even to share that experience with other people that get the same kind of, you know, enjoyment out of it is just awesome.
You know? Yeah.
So not many people get it, and a few people do, and especially someone that's guys that are and girls that are in their, like, say, teens or early 20s and stuff that are doing it and doing it well, like people like Nick. It's really good to see.
Yeah, because it's a pretty elite club. Like, there aren't hundreds of people doing solo 24-hour races.
No, no, exactly. So, you know, it's kind of nice to share that with other people. And, you know, even, you know, the conversations that you get to have with them, whether it's, you know, in person or online or social media and stuff, it's like, it is a bit different because you kind of share something a little bit different than just going out and riding bikes.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, cool. You had a bit of a unique experience this fall. You had some testing with a name that I think a lot of people know.
Yeah, so I had the really wonderful opportunity to do some testing with Steve Neal, with Steve Neal Performance. And that was kind of a nice treat because, like, my background being a respiratory therapist to doing mostly clinical care stuff in the hospital setting, to have an opportunity to do some testing on myself with respect to what I understand of the human body and my own profession was actually pretty fun. And I mean, obviously with COVID and whatnot, it was just, it seemed to take forever and my work schedule to find some dates that worked. But yeah, that opportunity with Steve came up in September. And I mean, I took full advantage of that because, I mean, he's an absolute legend in Ontario and probably, I'd argue, Canada and North America for his ability to test and coach athletes. So for me to actually, you know, take some time, and him to take some time especially to do this with me, was fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what kind of testing did you do?
So what we did and what Steve has kind of been doing a lot of lately is what's called, like, I would refer to it, well, he refers to it as metabolic cart testing. And from my background, I actually refer to it as indirect calorimetry testing. So what that testing does is you're wearing like a mask that's strapped to your face. And we can go into more detail in a moment. And essentially what that machine is doing is measuring how much oxygen you're taking in and how much CO2 you're blowing out. Now, there's a few other things going on that we'll chat about. But that what that can then show is your ability to exercise over certain stress loads. And in the cycling world, that'd be like, you know, power output and such. So, yeah, so he has all that equipment. And so it was neat to finally get a chance to do that on myself.
Nice. So you're strapped in. So is it an oxygen tank that's hooked up to it, like to regulate the weather?
No. So I can kind of quickly walk.
Sure.
Without getting into crazy detail. So you bring your bike, your trainer, like we use a smart trainer. Cause the nice thing is then you can, very specifically set, the wattage or power output that you need to be hitting, like an ergo mode that would people would probably best know. So like you would set a wattage, and so then you know what that workload is at any given time, right? So you have your bike, and then you put your, there's this other device that it's attached to a tube that attaches to a mask that is strapped to your face, so no air gets in and around that mask. So the mask goes around your mouth and nose. So when you breathe in, the machine that's attached to is measuring how much oxygen is coming into your system. On exhalation, it's measuring how much CO2 you're breathing out. So on top of that, you're also, the other measurements being done are MOXIE, which is measuring the blood oxygen. Well, it's not the blood oxygen, it's the tissue oxygen level. So that's a kind of a monitor that's strapped to usually a large muscle in the leg, and for this case it was a thigh. And then you've got your heart rate, and you're also doing lactate measurements at certain increments during the test as well too.
Interesting. So what does this test sort of help us with? Like, what does that tell us?
So people would traditionally know it best as like a VO2 max test. Like that's where you would see probably, like if you Google search that or look in a book, it's like showing someone on a trainer in a lab that is doing this and to try and find a VO2 max test. Where I would, and myself, and even with chatting with Steve Neal, it was interesting, was is where I was trying to find was where am I optimizing myself for endurance activity to best, say, be utilizing, say, fat, kind of, I guess, fat burning capacity versus using carbohydrates, and where does that line actually cross? So we did that. To explain that a bit more, so you still do this ramp test. So every 4 minutes, the wattage gets harder. So, you know, let's just use, say, 150 watts. And so every 4 minutes, you set what that next step's going to be, and that just continually gets harder. So with VO2 max, that's the point of absolute ventilatory fatigue. So you just can't go any further. We ended up doing that for the test, but that's just because we were close to there getting that point anyway. So that was just one extra small step to do that. But for my testing, what I was actually interested in seeing was where am I at, like, optimally to push myself as hard as I can for as long as I can with utilizing energy stores as best as I can. And obviously, in the endurance world, if you can utilize fat stores as much as you can versus carbohydrate, and this is in the body, this isn't food, things that you're consuming, then you're going to be able to go, you know, longer than anybody else, which is ultimately what my interests are.
Sure.
So the reason that being is that when you're using fat versus carbohydrates, it's a much, you're actually able to get more energy on a molecular level than you do with carbohydrates. So there's more, if for people that are listening that maybe they're in high school or older, you use ATP. That's what causes muscle contraction, right? So that energy comes from, ultimately, you know, things like the food that we eat that gets stored as fat or glycogen in the body, and that's what we use. So if you can, at rest or at low activity levels, you're utilizing the fats as much as possible because it works the best. So as you start exercising more, you use less of that system because it takes much more oxygen to use than it does for the carbohydrate system. So there's a point when you're exercising where those two lines kind of cross over. And so I was just kind of interested to see where that point was.
And did you find that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like you do, because like you're just, as you're doing this ramp test, you're finding where that point is.
And did you have any preconceived notion of where that line was going to be?
I think I kind of hoped it was going to be high. I know my top end is embarrassingly low, you know, as far as like where I'm at, like for like max watts, you know, I'm just, that's not me, and it never actually has been me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was not looking forward to that because it was like, I feel like I probably disappointed Steve with that number, but I was more interested in seeing graphically, after it was all done, what was my body doing at that kind of in like technical terms, it's like you talk about respiratory exchange ratios, and so like where you're utilizing these fuel sources, like the fats and carbohydrates, and you're both utilizing them at the same time. It's just at certain points you're using one more than the other, and that's even with anaerobic stuff as well too. So for me, this was like just to look at all the numbers on a graph, just kind of more nerding out about it than anything else. Like I said, like, I mean, like, I don't get a chance to do this kind of stuff because I usually just deal with sick people as a respiratory therapist. So
right.
To kind of like, you know, to play around with a healthy subject, I guess, and especially on myself.
Yeah.
It was very interesting, and it's finally nice to be able to do something like that. So, you know, like there again, like it's like seeing, okay, what watts am I optimizing, you know, certain systems, where's my heart rate with those, what's my, you know, power, I already said power, but also like just, and like the other interesting things was like, what we can talk about in a minute is what my respiratory system was actually doing with this too. Because you're measuring respiratory rate and you're actually measuring how much volume you're breathing in and out, right? So that was something that I was actually ultimately interested in out of all of this was like, you know, because that's something that you can modify. And that was kind of what Steve and I had been discussing many months before we even did this about working on respiratory muscle training.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that then. So what does that look like?
So I think people have seen these kinds of devices before. Like there's devices that, like especially in the endurance world, would see like the Spiro Tiger units. And so I just, there again, Steve Neal's kind of like a good gateway to understanding all of this information and getting your hands on pieces of equipment to try and try these things yourself. And there's a company out of Switzerland called IDAG. And so they make something that's a respiratory muscle training device. And it's, a, I guess, would be considered a smart device. So it's designed to work on the respiratory muscles as far as training them to improve on, you know, respiratory rates, respiratory volumes, and also inspiratory, expiratory strength. So the cool thing about actually doing the metabolic cart testing was, is it showed what your respiratory rate was doing. Like if you graphed everything, and I know we're doing a podcast, so I can't really show everything, but like you're looking at what your respiratory rate's doing as that workload is getting harder and harder. You're also seeing what, you know, your carbohydrate is doing, your fats are doing, your, and also like lactate and the MOXIE, that muscle oxygen saturation reading. And so what, where's my respiratory rate with all of that? So the cool thing is that's something that you can actually work on, right? So you can say, well, for me at the higher end of things, my respiratory rate started to kind of fail a little bit and I know I can work on that, right? So just like weight training that we're all probably doing right now anyways, it's the same kind of thing. It's a, these are all muscles around your lungs, right? So they can all be trained. And so that's the interesting thing. And so the other thing is that you can also work on, even at like say a lower intensity, I can see what my respiratory rate was doing, what those volumes were because of this testing done. And I can work on that kind of stuff off of the bike if I want to with this respiratory training device to, you know, say, can I increase my volume at a set respiratory rate? Or can I improve the overall strength of my inspiratory phase and my expiratory phase?
So this is a device you bought?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's kind of an interesting thing. To just play. I mean, for me, it's just more of the interest, right? I'm not trying to, you know, think I'm gonna get much better given like, you know, working for a living, age, and just other things going on. But it's quite interesting just to see what I'm capable of doing.
And are you using it because you ride year round outside? Are you keeping it to Zwift rides inside, or are you using it out on the road?
So for now, I think like you'll see like YouTube videos with certain pro athletes using it, and I think more for the gram, like you'll see them using it on like pedaling on a trainer or something like that. For me, I've been just strictly using it off of the bike.
Okay.
And so it's just more like sitting at a table, concentrating on proper technique and working on volumes for set respiratory rates. And that's what's neat about this device is that it connects to a smartphone, so you can set all these parameters as far as volumes, target respiratory rates. When you're doing the strength component stuff, you can set certain resistance, so that, you know, works a completely different system as well too. So that's kind of the neat thing. So the nice thing about actually doing these kinds of things off of the bike, where I think there's actually better value anyways, is it really allows you to kind of work on your breathing technique.
Right.
You know, even though breathing is an autonomous thing that we do, it is something that you can work on the strength to and try and improve volumes.
I think there's a guy, I'll probably get his name wrong, but I want to say it's like Wim Hof, something like that. He's really into like breathing techniques and and that sort of thing with cold water and all that kind of business. But anyways, that's an aside.
Yeah. No, so, but this is just more like I said, like it was in this opportunity what I do as a professional person.
Yeah.
To, especially with, you know, pandemic and everything going on, it's been a really nice distraction to kind of just play around with this device. And like, I'm not a big data junkie person. Like, I don't train with heart rate. I don't train with power. So to actually see what some of the numbers look like, you know, 20 years later of just like making it up as I go along, it's been kind of interesting.
So that was a question I wrote down when you were talking there. So you don't train with any of those things, heart rate, you don't have power,
no,
any of that business.
No.
So how does that, so I guess first off, were you surprised with your power numbers and what you were doing?
I guess I should, I don't know, because it's like, I don't, like, you know, because I don't know what that number truly represents when I'm outside.
Sure.
It's kind of hard to say, that's exactly what 275 watts feels like.
Right.
I know what feels hard, but I guess, you know, all joking aside, actually, when you're doing the test, it's like when I kind of reflect back on different phases of the test, like where I felt comfortable was exactly where I was in the test for like, hey, I can push this pace for 10, 12, 20 hours if I want to.
Right.
Right. So that was kind of neat just to see what that number actually represents, I guess, is the best thing versus what I've been just kind of like figuring out all these years.
And I guess, are you now, when you do a smart trainer ride, are you paying attention now that you have this sort of fresh data for power? I guess what I'm trying to say is, are you connecting the power numbers now that you know to feel? Because you're like Lindley, you're a ride by feel guy.
Yeah. So I did buy a heart rate monitor strap.
Ooh.
I will confess. Mostly because it can measure my respiratory rate.
Okay.
So what I've been actually doing, especially when I'm doing like, say, Zwift rides, is I'll look at that information afterwards and see where I'm, you know, where am I actually, like, testing versus, you know, reality from doing the testing. Am I still measuring up to that, or am I better, or am I worse to where I was looking at where my respiratory rate was at a certain wattage in like, say, a Zwift ride versus being tested. So in theory, then over time, using this respiratory breathing device, I should be able to have, you know, you're either A, going to have that same respiratory rate, and the wattages are going to be higher, or, you know, or like you're going to be wattages with lesser respiratory rate, because, you know, if you're working on volume, especially at a given respiratory rate, then, you know, your ability to move air in and out of your body over a 1 minute period, which is called minute volume, will improve a lot. Right. So you're going to be able to move more oxygen in, which helps out with, you know, things like producing, like I said, like that ATP ultimately, right? So that's what's giving you all that energy, right?
Right.
So, and if you can start doing all these things with using, like, your body actually using less energy to push your body forward, then for me, that's a huge advantage over long periods of time.
Yeah.
So.
Which is the ultimate goal for you, because you do the... So it's not that your race is going to get longer than 24 hours. But I think, like you alluded to there, that you'll be able to push more wattage for that same aerobic amount.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope, right? Yeah. So, and whether that happens or not, I don't know. I mean, it's just been, it's kind of neat just to see how the numbers kind of all come together more than anything. And there again, to be paying attention to that stuff versus dealing with sick people has been, it's just been a nice distraction, I think has been the best thing really more than anything. So.
Well, it's, I think for you, it's pretty awesome because it's in your wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. This is your bread and butter. This is your day to day. So cool that you can dabble into it in your home life as well.
Yeah. I mean, I wish, like, there again, like, Steve is such, like, he's such an amazing resource with all this stuff too, right? Like, his understanding of all of it, like, with just how the mechanics of the body work when it comes to exercise, it's been, it was just amazing listening to him talk. Like, I wish, I think he'd be an amazing person to have on as a guest because, he's got so much information available. He's you know, I think anyone that has the opportunity to get the testing, whether through Steve or somebody else, but let Steve actually look at your data and talk to you about what you can do with that information is just so valuable to any level of athlete. For me, it just happened, like, whether it was kind of coincidental in a way to that the respiratory thing was what seemed to be the one thing that I can work on doing the testing, and then getting the opportunity to get to use one of these devices has been like kind of fun. And I wasn't expecting that was what the results were ultimately going to show, was that, you know, working on lung volumes and respiratory rates and respiratory muscles strength training was something that was going to come out of it all. But it kind of was a neat little surprise out of it all.
Was there any other little markers that he said, oh, you know, that maybe surprised you? Or
I think for me it was actually just it's been a long time since I'd even paid much attention to that stuff, but I was quite surprised with how long I'm utilizing fat. Like, and when I say fat, like, it's not like, you know, you're looking at a tub of margarine and that's what's fueling your body here. Like, you're talking about, you know, free fatty acids that, you know, like, your body is utilizing from its, you know, adipose tissue stores, for example, and taking that, you know, like, the chains that are off of that, and it's using that as a fuel source to do things, even though it requires a little bit more energy, it's a lot more... you get a lot more out of it than you do for that equivalent molecule of carbohydrate. So I was actually kind of impressed with my body with how long I can, like, at what wattage I can use, and I'm still using that resource at. And so, but it makes sense. I mean, like, I can pedal a bike for a long time at a given pace without thinking about it too much.
Do you want to share any of these numbers?
People can direct message me and we can get into that a bit more. Hey, I'm not, it's no, just, no. It's like, it's a whole other conversation.
Sure.
And it doesn't really mean much on this because, like, you know, unless we start to get into YouTube podcast stuff, it's kind of hard to explain without looking at graphs.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, there again, and I'm not, I always kind of thought in my mind that you're utilizing fat stores if you're like a high fat diet or whatever, right? And I'm anything but, like, I'm like a carbohydrate junkie. So
we've proved that on this podcast before.
Oh yeah. but it's amazing to show how the body adapts.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm not saying eat boxes of Pop-Tarts every day or anything like that.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that the body understands what it needs to do when you've gone down a certain path of certain types of athletics, and it becomes really good at that thing.
Yeah.
And the numbers showed it for me, which is kind of cool. Like, I wasn't like, aha, see, I told everybody. That has nothing to do with it. I was actually quite surprised myself. I figured I was just kind of burning high octane gasoline right from the beginning, but it doesn't work that way.
Right.
So in fact, it was the exact opposite of what I thought. It was like I was utilizing these stores for a longer period of time than I was actually expecting.
And did you, I don't know if you even had this preconceived notion, in the ramp test, did you get further?
Oh, I got way less than I thought.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I was like, I wasn't like calling uncle on it or anything like that.
I don't know.
But I was a bit disappointed. Like I thought I could push more watts, but at the end of the day, I know that's not my forte anyways.
Right.
So, yeah, I thought that maybe I'd get a little further up the chain than I did.
Yep.
But Jesus, let me tell you, when you're doing these 4-minute increments and like it's getting nothing but harder on a trainer where you're staring at a brick wall, and that it just gets that little bit harder, little bit harder, a little bit harder, like it gets really, really hard. However, Steve was telling me, a little side note here, if you're doing a straight VO2 max testing, those steps, what we were doing 4-minute steps, just to like stabilize things like lactate to make sure you're actually getting a true lactate number and to stabilize where your heart rate is at and what your respiratory rate's doing during these periods of time. Now, VO2 max test, you're probably going to ramp up a lot quicker than 4-minute steps. Right. So your body's just not going to fatigue as much. Like I was on the trainer with this mask on that's like dry as can be, you can't take it off. With it getting nothing but harder for 4-minute periods of time for about an hour and 20 minutes.
Right. So you're not drinking during that?
No, you can't.
Okay. Or it
screws everything up. Because you're measuring your oxygen coming in and CO2 coming out, right? So you can't do that. So part of it is a mental thing too, where you're just like oof. As soon as you stop, you feel fantastic. And then you're like, damn it, maybe I could have. But it's like, you know, when you're deep down, you're like, you were tapping out and that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know. Like I've never, like I said, I've never been big on high end power and stuff, and I'm fine with that. I mean, I don't go out of my way to try and do sprints. That's why I don't do like probably short distance, say mountain bike races, because those starting speeds and power, I just don't have that. Or like in, even with road cycling back when I was doing that stuff, like I certainly tended more towards like super hard mountainous types of races because that really matched my abilities.
Yeah. And no one should feel bad about any wattage that they pump out, because there are people like the Williams brothers who do the crit racing down in the States and pump out 1,000 or 2 watts.
Yeah.
That's their deal, and
and
you're never going to race them in an endurance race.
No, exactly. And, you know, I mean, if I was that gifted where I could be really good at doing endurance plus having high wattage, probably be still traveling the world racing bikes. So, but I'm not.
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
The way it goes.
Yeah. So we're heading into white season, and you got sort of a new bike.
Yeah, so I've been lucky enough to, through Cranky Sprocket, well, I mean, I bought the bike, but, you know, like, it seems like bikes are a premium.
Yes.
But, like, yeah, I've got a Celsa Bear Grease fat bike, and I also in the summer ride it a bit, too, and that's my commuter bike back and forth to the hospital. But, you know, in late August, I thought I had a creaky bottom bracket, but as it turns out, the bottom bracket was spinning freely in the frame. So the aluminum caps that hold the bottom bracket in place let go, which, as you know, I mean, lucky for me, I guess, is the best way to look at it, is like Celsa was willing to warranty the frame. So I got a new frame out of the deal.
Nice.
And so, hey, even with all the old components, it feels like a new bike.
Beautiful.
So, I love doing like getting on the trails and stuff, but fat biking for me a lot of times is just getting in the miles outside and actually feeling safe about it. And so there's lots of, I mean, the thing, especially really a berry area, like most of the winter, the roads are just covered in ice and snow anyways.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm perfectly fine with that, especially when you get on the secondary kind of gravel roads or secondary, you know, snowmobile trails and stuff. So it's perfect to have for me for winter time. And plus also just have fun on single track and stuff. So.
Are you a studded tire guy?
100%.
Okay.
I've got two hips that have scars all over them from wiping out on ice to convert me over.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And International Fat Bike Day, that's coming up in February maybe? Or did we miss it already?
Well, there was some kind of Fat Bike Day that we just had.
Yeah, December 5th, I think.
There might be a different one, yeah. But who knows?
I think there's another one further down the road.
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. Would you ever do a fat bike race? I think there's Dan Marshall maybe puts a couple on.
I would like to, but it's like, I'm just, like, when it comes, like, at least in the summertime, the worst that's going to happen is it's going to rain.
Right.
But there's a few more variables in the winter, and there's nothing against, like, I would love to, but it's like, I wouldn't just say I'm doing this race 100%, because it's like, if it's minus 20,
yeah,
and there's like 10 centimeters of brand new snow, it's like, I don't know, I'm just not that interested. But yeah, like, I could, but there's also lots of other extremes with that too, right? I mean, like, especially when you get into the longer endurance events of that, like, I mean, like, you know, you, even if it's a 100-mile race, it's not like a 100-mile mountain bike race. I mean, you could potentially be in situations where, you know, you could put your life at risk. So
for sure.
I don't spend enough time thinking about that kind of stuff, like, as far as, like, you know, like, what do I need to prepare myself to do those kinds of events? So last year I did the Fat Viking thing virtually. That was kind of fun. That was like, you could do like a few variations of that. And that's an event in Norway that they have every year. So just because of COVID and stuff, you could like just say, hey, on this day, I'm going to ride 150K or yep. do 100K. And so that was kind of fun to do.
And what did you do?
I did 150K. But that was just riding like the roads around our area to hammer it out. But it still took a long time. It was like almost 7 hours of
yeah
getting it done. But it was fun. It was just, you know, there again, it's something to do.
Yeah.
It segues nicely into the things I'd rather be doing, like, you know, like spring, summer events. So
yep.
It's fine.
We've talked about this before. You got a KOM on your fatty. On Slusser, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah? Do you still have it?
I don't know. Those young guys that live in the area, too, they can hit them pretty... They're pretty close consistently, even in the summertime.
Yeah.
So I think... I don't know. That's the way it is, though. It's like someone steals it, and usually it's the next day that it's gone again. So, but that's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Those trails are pretty fast when the snow's on them, so...
Yeah.
Even this winter, I expect they're going to go down.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah, they always do. That's what they're there for.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it's fun. It's fun that people will target it and just go for that kind of stuff.
So yeah.
Why don't we get you here on this then? What was the first concert you went to?
Oh, geez, that'd be Lollapalooza, probably 1998.
Who was at that one? Do you remember?
That was at. That one headline, like, what, I don't know who was actually headlining, but it was like Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Ministry, Cypress Hill, Rage Against the Machine.
That was the good one.
Yeah.
That was the best one, I think.
One of my best friends in high school, Rage Against the Machine started. They opened up. He lost his shoes in the pit. The first, like, 2 seconds that, like, the guitar kicks in.
Yeah.
And he's like yelling at me that he lost his shoes. And so that was kind of the end of our pit for the day.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That's always, every time I think of Lollapalooza, I just think of him losing his shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any concert t-shirts from way back when?
I'd have to check my parents' house, but like, I don't recall ever throwing anything out. Yeah. But that was always part of it. You get the black concert t-shirt with the dates on the back. You wore that thing proudly, right? Just in case somebody asked.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you go? So it's
proof. That was proof.
Yeah. So I know that shirt. I can visualize it in my head. But I don't. Maybe it is at my parents' house somewhere. Nice. I don't know.
If someone who haven't you seen live that you'd slap some money down for today.
Oh, that's a good question, Mark. Geez. Lately? I don't know.
Lifetime. Lifetime-wise.
Lifetime-wise. Yeah. I don't know. I listen to so much different music now. That I'd probably be one of those bands from then. Like to see like something like Rage Against the Machine again, like back when it was actually like Rage Against the Machine, like... It was so intense. It was incredible. Also, like, I mean, you know, like, drop of a hat, Foo Fighters all day, every day.
Yeah.
Because I saw them a few years ago, and that was an incredible show.
Nice.
And they put on quite the show, so.
Nice. Favorite dessert?
Currently, it's Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Christmas time.
Yes.
I'm going to say right now, those squares that use peanut butter chocolate, or the peanut butter chips with the colored marshmallows.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That's,
I prefer coconut in there too.
Uh-huh.
Man, I love those things.
I don't even know what those are called, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're so sweet. They're like, this time of year, it's like my favorite. And Heather also, my wife, makes an amazing ginger cookie too that I just...
Nice. Funny, I haven't seen you use the marshmallow peanut butter thing at races.
I'd melt. It would melt.
It would melt. Yeah, yeah. Summer-wise, yeah.
I would probably... Like, they're so rich, though. I think you'd just throw up if you ate one of those things.
Peanut butter would be a little harder in a race format, I think.
Yeah.
This is a bit of an aside. I know we were going to wrap up there, but you're big on yoga.
Yeah. Certainly doing it, obviously, at home now because of...
Sure.
The studio that I used to go to isn't been operating. But yeah, I love yoga. It's a good way to move your body, especially something like cycling, where it's a very exact same movement type of activity over and over again.
Yep.
It's nice because it just gets your body moving. And there again, as I've gotten older too, just to keep your, you know, ligaments moving and joints and stuff, I think it's so important to being just overall healthy.
Yep. Yeah. We'll get you out of here on this. What is a non-negotiable for you in a day?
Ride my bike.
Every day?
Yeah.
You don't take any rest days?
If I don't have to.
Fair enough. And one last one. I know you used to run. Do you ever run even like 5K?
You know, that's an ongoing problem. I just tried again. That was like the end of September. No, beginning of October. Somewhere right in there. And, like, I just completely blew my hamstring. Like, the injury that stopped me from running in the first place just came right back within, like, 4K. I hadn't run in, like, 2 years. And I was, like, so disappointed. I've been trying to get some help with a few people and work on some stuff. Because I'd like to again. But, yeah, like, if it can't happen, it can't happen. But, like, yeah, it just all of a sudden tightened up. And it's taken probably 6 weeks to kind of subside again. So...
Son of a gun.
Yeah, Mark Rocca could explain it all for you. That's his expertise.
So. Yeah, he's the man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I'd love to, but if it can't happen anymore, that's all right.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Adam. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Yeah, it was great seeing you.
Yeah.
Really want to thank Adam Hill. Just a great guy, respiratory therapist, and great to hear him using his professional background for his love of sport that he has. Follow him on Instagram. I'm sure you can find him. However you found us, I am super grateful that you did. Please get in touch with us. allwheelsrolling@gmail.com. You know where we are on the socials. Would love to hear from you folks. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.